Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Välkomna till Rock Bottom.
Ett lite stökigt Rock Bottom idag kanske. Ja. Jag kanske måste springa iväg för vi befinner oss nämligen på Rock City Stockholm.
Vi sitter i backstage och catering.
Jajamän, och jag är presentatör här så jag måste springa iväg och presentera ett band. Men vi har kastat oss över ett av de coola banden från Amerika. Klassiskt band.
I middagen sitter vi här med House of Lords.
Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. In the middle of dinner. We're
thank
so sorry
you. Thank you for having us here.
Just so people can identify your voices here, just shout your name here and say hi.
Hi, I'm James Christian.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jimmy Bell.
There you go. I remember when this band started, actually. And I met you a long time ago, but it was brief. But you signed with Simmons Records, right?
Yes. What show did you see us at?
Oh, God, I saw so many shows. I've been to America 90 times.
We did Scorpions and Ozzy Osbourne. Those were two tours.
You did Cheap Trick, too. And Cheap the Nelsons.
But not in Europe,
Nelson,
not in,
I think it was. Yeah, because I met
were
Nelson.
You in the U.S.? In the US?
Yeah, in the U.S., yes.
Okay, that's probably where you met.
Yeah. It's quite early on in your career, I remember. We did an interview and a photo session somewhere in L.A., I think it was. But I did that every day for years.
Could you ever imagine when you signed with Gene Simmons, Simmons Records, that's like 3 decades ago, that you will still be around as a band?
I prayed that it would happen that way. Yeah, everybody does. Nobody wants it to end. So there was a period of time that the grunge, Nirvana, Pearl Jam music style took
Seattle,
over.
Seattle, yeah.
And kind of put us out of business for about 10 years.
You were in hiatus for a couple of times, right? You were in sort of a hiatus
for a couple of times?
Yes, yeah.
Because of the musical change, that getting a record deal was not the easiest thing to do because everything had changed.
So many bands got dropped.
Right, exactly.
As well.
But we were fortunate because we had done 3 albums before that. That when things started going back and people started getting interested in melodic rock again, that we had enough of a track record to recover.
And so, enough of a following.
Right.
What was the first sign you saw that the era of the 80s?
It's coming to an end. We had a Demons Down album party in Las Vegas. And Gene Simmons put together a party with all the record promoters and DJs throughout the country, threw them all in, and they all praised the record. They said, "We love this record, it's amazing." And one DJ from Boston, I'll never forget, said, "I love this record." He goes, "But it's a shame that it came out when it did, because the music industry has changed and our programming is going more toward Pearl Jam and
Nirvana.
And I thought at that time, I really didn't believe him, but he was right. So it was kind of a heartbreak and a depression. I felt very low because we worked so hard on Demons Down.
Because you weren't in par with your time.
Yes. We were recording as if everything was the same way, not realizing that the music industry was changing before our eyes.
Right.
And it happened to a lot of
people. And it took people by surprise because it went so
fast. Took everybody.
I remember going, the whole of the 80s, I was in the pit in front of great bands like Motley Crue and Kiss, and it was big shows and everything. And then all of a sudden I found myself at an Alice in Chains show with people, you know, playing with no lights, their backs turned against the audience. It was boring.
You know, here's the thing, a record executive who I won't name told me the reason. You can sign 20 garage bands, and if one of them sticks, you've got it. But to sign a band like a House of Lords or Motley Crue or bands like that, these are $500,000 deals. They spend $20,000 on these garage bands, and they'll sign 20 or 30 of them. They only have to get one of them to work, and that's the way the industry changed. All the big record contracts went out the door.
But also, again, a lot of bands change their image, suits, whatever was on the market.
We were told to do that, but I actually tried it, and I really suck at doing alternative. Uh-huh. To me, it's not like you really have to have whatever it is, like if you grow up in that era and you sing it, it's not really like vocalizing the way I remember it, which is really trying to be precise. Vocalizing as an alternative is being honest. It doesn't matter if you're good, bad, indifferent. It just means you have a character or a feel. Anybody can be a rock star type of
honest / sloppy.
Thank you.
But where do one draw the line between evolving one's music to stay relevant for oneself and to evolving to fit the market and business?
But the thing is, you could try fitting the market. Warren tried it and they failed.
A lot of bands tried it, but none of them really succeeded.
You can't. It's a different style. Yeah. It's like a rock band trying to be a pop band if you don't have it within you to understand the market, because the market knows what they want. Like people that were listening to Nirvana, and I'm telling you, I thought Nirvana was really creative at what they did, but it's not what I could sing. Only people that came from that genre could do that.
It had to be honest and real.
Right. I came from the Journeys and the Whitesnakes and the singer's market, and that's what I was trained to do and what I worked at all my life. So to change direction and try to be something I wasn't, better to stop.
I think one of the only bands that actually survived that transition was Bon Jovi. They managed to keep the faith, completely different sounding album, but it worked.
It did.
But for a lot of other bands, it did not.
It did. I wish
Kiss
it did.
Struggled like crazy.
I mean, I would... Well, Kiss... The good thing about Kiss was they had an army. And believe me, that was a real, real army. These people were like... I mean, like, they were like devoted to that band. It didn't matter what they did. They loved them.
Yeah. They could go out and do nursery rhymes and they would buy that too.
Let's get back to House of Lords now. What was your inspiration for Saint of the Lost Souls?
Saint of the Lost Souls was just a period in time where the Saint of the Lost Souls is a period of time where people were looking for something a little bit more. They were searching for direction. Mm-hmm. And the Lost Souls were people who had nothing. People who had actually lost hope in life. And it goes a lot deeper. But people who have actually given up. And Saint of the Lost Souls is a message that you can recover from any obstacle if you try hard enough. Mm-hmm. And the Saints of the Lost Souls are all of us that try and try and try and go, oh, I give up. And
so that could be to a fugitive or a musician or
anything,
whoever.
Or it could be a musician. It could be anything that you do in life. There are people that try to do something in their life, and then they fail and they fail and they fail and they give up. And there's an actual saint for the lost souls. I forgot his name. We researched it before we wrote the song.
Uh-huh.
But he has a name, and the name of that saint is for you pray to this particular saint, who is the saint of the lost souls, for people who have actually.
I think his name. I think his name is Jimmy Bell.
Jimmy Bell. Saint Bell. but again, there is a saint. If you look it up, he is the saint of the lost souls.
Okay.
People who have really lost direction, don't know where they're going, given up on pursuing anything further because they weren't able to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a direction of hope. Most people, I don't know if they get that deep into the lyrics. Some people do. And some people would rather hear a song called Bangin', which is about, you know.
I have to ask a fan question. I love the video for Harlequin. I love that. Where was that show? What was the location for that?
Harlequin. That was a real weird one. And it really was because...
and of course, it's the one that stuck with me.
Yeah. Harlequin, we that, all...
That's in Connecticut where James grew up, but where I'm from, and mm-hmm. DJ. And the song was recorded at... We filmed at old Norwich Insane Asylum. Mm-hmm. It's an old insane...
Really?
It's an old insane asylum that got shut down in Norwich, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. It's been abandoned. It was like they had an orphanage there, and then there was a lot of really bad things that happened there at that asylum.
And they shut it down because of all the bad things that happened.
And it was, the vibe must have been
Oh, my God.
And that it was haunted. So we decided to record it there. Harlequin being, it's just behind the mask of everything.
Yeah.
We all live behind this mask. And we think we know who we are, but we don't know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole idea of Harlequin being, we don't really live in our true identities. Everybody has a secret of some sort, and the Harlequin is laughing at us because he knows our secrets. So
the location was actually picked not only because it looked really cool.
But the weirdest part of that video was when they said it was haunted, the guy that owned that property told us that it was haunted and that he had proof that things had happened there. So we were doing the video and I was doing one take of just singing.
Yeah.
And it was the regular normal day and I'm singing great. Every room was different. We go into this one particular room and I start singing and all of a sudden there's smoke coming out of my mouth. I swear to God, no other room in that whole place did that. It got from a temperature of normal to a temperature where I was singing and there was smoke coming out of my mouth. And I thought, this is very strange, and I didn't feel very comfortable. I didn't say anything about it. Then when the video was done...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The director pointed out that there was one scene in that particular room where there was a person with his arms out right behind me, and I swear to God, I'll show it to you, I'll email it to you, and a little child with his hands up like this.
Oh, my God.
And when I looked at it, I went, are you fucking serious? Did you do something to this camera? He said, no. And in that video, that was a children's asylum. The room that we were in was a children's asylum. So what we figured was that was a child and the parent next to each other. And you could see it as clear as day. It's not like he had to imagine it. It was there. And I thought, this is the weirdest thing I've ever done in my life. I believe in heaven and hell, in God, but I don't know how to figure this out. It was
Wow.
It's weird. So Harlequin became one of those songs that even when I play it, I get like a weird feeling. You know, I don't know if I want to play this song. Anymore.
Everyone has to check it out.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I used to say. It's like, check this thing out. And I would say at this 3 minutes or whatever in 2 seconds, look at that fireplace.
Wow.
That fireplace has a person, a woman or a man, and a little child with their hand up.
I thought there was some fuck-off expensive effects.
No.
It's a real deal.
Yeah, that's right. That was a real deal. It was filthy in there. And I said to myself, this is the worst. I mean, I had to clean my clothes off after every take from the dust and the crud in that room. But the vibe, you could never build a set that was as real as that.
What's even better about this is that a friend of mine who filmed the video for us went down to check, you know, to scope out the building.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy that lives next door to the building. There's several buildings. One side of the street is owned by the Indian tribe, Mohegan Sun, you know, where they own the casino and everything. The other side is owned by my friend, by this guy. And so my friend goes to the property, and a guy comes out of the house and goes, "Hey, what are you doing here?" You know, and he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm just, you know, scoping out. I'm hoping to film a video here for a band." And he goes, "Well, what band?" And he goes, "House of Lords." And the guy goes, "You mean Jimmy Bell?" And I said, and my friend was shocked because not a lot of people, you know, he was surprised that the guy knew the band.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that the guy who owned all the property used to work at a club that I played at years and years ago.
Oh.
And he had bought all the property, all the abandoned buildings.
Wow, what are the odds?
Yeah, I mean, very strange. So we got to go in, and he took us on a tour throughout it. It's really freaky in there. I mean, really, you can go in certain rooms.
I was really frightened. I'm not kidding.
There's certain rooms that, you know, we have some photos. If you look really hard in the footage, you'll see when he's singing in that room, you can see orbs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so yeah. It's kind
of, tell me about the woman and the child.
Yeah,
I see in a I see a baby over in a corner, like where there's a frame. There's a shot where there's it looks like a window reflection.
Uh-huh.
When he's singing, it's off to the right of him. And then it looks like, now we were filming in the orphanage, that section.
Right.
And to me, it looks like I see an image of a child with his hand up like this. Like I can see like looks like a bit of a head and a body, and then a little arm up. And then you look next to him and it looks like an adult holding the child's hand. And then her body goes into the floor a little bit, but there's kind of shapes that make you believe.
And that was the only room where the smoke was kind of coming out of my mouth. I would walk out of the room and breathe, and nothing happened. Into that room, and they always say that spirits will actually appear or make themselves present in the coldest.
Yeah. That's what
conditions.
I heard too. Yeah.
So I tested it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and I breathed and then I went to the next room and I did it and nothing. Went to that room and it was like I was in a winter storm.
Wow.
So that, you know, and believe me, I'm a religious person, so I believe in the heaven and hell scenario, but I didn't realize that the afterlife that way could actually be
manifesting itself.
You rarely have to touch it.
Wow. So, like I said, everybody has to check that video out.
That's right.
Really
absolutely.
Good video. Have you started writing for the next album? What's in the pipeline for House of Lords?
I always prep.
Always.
I write a lot of stuff, and I do it with I get together with BJ a lot. That's our system.
Yeah.
We've been doing it like that since we joined the band. I'll go over and give him a. Well, I'll play something for him, and he'll either say, "Oh, I like it," or "No, forget that."
And but can you write when you're on tour? Or
I've written things, riffs and stuff. I mean, we don't really do it. We have a whole different system than a lot of, you know, like we do everything. Like him and I do all the basic tracks at his house.
Uh-huh.
We'll record a song,
as if, and we don't do them in demo form. So in other words, we'll record a song as if it's being used.
Oh, okay.
This way, if by chance he really likes the song the way it is, then we don't have to go in and re-record it again. Yeah. So we record it as if it's going to be used, and then we send it to James, and then he'll, you know, he'll play some keyboard parts and then listen to the melody to see if he likes what he could come up with for melody.
You can keep the original vibe.
Right, and then he might take a part in the middle of the song and cut it and want to move it to the front of the song. But, I mean, we always have some sort of a foundation to work from right off the bat.
Cool.
And we've been doing it like that for a long time.
So what's in store for the rest of 2018 for the band now?
Well, 2018 is it's going to be a busy year, but we're actually, my wife is going out on tour. And
your wife being?
Robin Beck.
Of course.
And she loves House of Lords. So obviously she takes Jimmy and BJ and myself, and I end up playing bass. So we go out and tour and do that portion of it. It's a lot of fun. It really is, because her music is great. It's not something we don't enjoy doing. We love it. And for House of Lords, we have a lot of different shows coming up in the U.S.
Got some Quiet stuff Riot. In Quiet Riot. Sweet. The Sweet. Remember the Sweet?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
So we did a couple of shows with the Sweet. A month ago, and they were amazing. They really
love
were.
That band.
Yeah, and it was so much fun because the two of us got to we blended so well. Their audience loved us, and we loved them. And Sweet loved us because it all worked out. You know, nobody conflicted. It wasn't like it wasn't a good match. So now we're planning on doing a lot more shows with Sweet. But now we're doing some shows with Quiet Riot.
Great.
Which is ironic because my old bass player from House of Lords isn't quite right.
Of course,
right.
Yeah.
So there's always this little family thing that goes on.
There's always something that's connecting.
I don't know what it is.
I'm just going to tell you. The jingle for this show is called, of course, the show is called Rock Bottom, as one of your songs. Right. Yeah. And I wrote the jingle and sang the jingle for this show together with Tommy Denander, who's also wrote for you, play
right.
guitar on one of your
right.
albums.
He
yeah.
did, right. So he didn't write Rock Bottom. He didn't write Rock Bottom. That was
Jimmy. Song. Yeah.
Jimmy came up behind.
Yeah. You better not take credit for that.
No, no. But we're all connected,
you know,
somehow.
You get these classic yeah. riffs, and I think that like 30 years from now, people hear a riff like Rock Bottom and go, wow, that yeah. was really good. Because I know, I've listened to enough riffs in my life, like Deep Purple.
Yeah.
You know, I remember those riffs when Rock Bottom has that lick that goes,
absolutely.
Somebody's going to look yeah. back and go, that, I want to learn how to play that.
When we first got together, when James called me in 2005,
yeah.
I'm Free and Rock Bottom were the first two songs I sent him, and we weren't sure if he was going to be able to do it, because they're all wholly, they're different than what House of Lords did. We were using drop tunings and everything, so we really wanted to push the envelope and stuff a little bit to see what he would do. And then, you know, it's amazing that, you know, he decided to go with it. And once he adds the keyboards and his vocal lines and the harmonies, it all of a sudden becomes a House of Lords song. Because
absolutely.
Because you can give them the heaviest riff that, like, Saint of the Lost Souls is a very heavy, that song has got, you know, really driving stuff. And once he adds the his vocals and the everything, it becomes
such
a House of Lords song.
The key is always this. No matter what track you have, if it's a heavy metal track, if you put a melodic melody on top of it, it changes the whole picture. It really does. Melodic is meaning that you got to remember what the melody says, rather than a monotone vocal that, you know, that goes here and doesn't really connect with the listener. Unless you're brain dead. I want to listen to a melody.
Of course.
And I want to walk away going, I remember that song. And to me, that's more important than anything. So if he writes a heavy metal riff, I'm going to write a melodic melody and put those two together, and that's what we do.
That's the House of Lords.
That's House
with
of Lords.
With those words of wisdom, I'm going to say...
Now, see
Thank
if
you
I was,
so much.
Now, see, if I was in the band back in 19, from the beginning in 88, we probably could have made it through the grunge scene.
Well, that grunge scene, we really I tried singing through it going, I'm going, I don't know
well,
if I can do
that. Thank God you survived that and that you're survived. Back. And we're so happy to have you here. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
And best of luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
Well, that was a great interview.
Yeah,
thank
it was.
You so much. And I always finish with saying, up your bottom.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.